Blog Talk Radio.
The Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People radio show. Before we bring on that caller that's called in, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Scarlett. How you doing, Scarlett?
I'm doing fantastic. Good evening, everybody.
And before we get into the caller, I just want to wish everyone a happy Hanukkah. Today's the first day of Hanukkah, and the Jewish faith around enough. Friends and family and all our fans and supporters around the world who are in the Jewish faith, happy Hanukkah to you all. And before we get into the call, I just want to say one thing. In January will be our 13th anniversary. We've been on the air for 13 years. We have hundreds of thousands of different guests on from all aspects of the entertainment field, political field, publishers, artists, you name it, they were on, producers, straight up. We give them every shot. We let them talk their thing. We even have round tables. We had gangs on in Chicago and stuff to talk about violence and all kinds of different things. And we don't care what the story is. We allow you to speak. We go back and forth. We have a dialogue. And we're never disrespectful to anyone that calls in. As long as they follow the Common Clause rules, we allow you to talk. We give you the information. We have a dialogue. But once you go and become something that you're not, that's not have respect, then we cut you down. But the point is, we give everyone a chance to speak, and that's what makes this show so great and lasting for 13 years coming up. And now I want to introduce my caller. I want to put up, hello, caller. Please tell me who you are and how we can help you.
I think it's me.
Yes.
I hope you're talking to me.
Yes, I am.
Oh, good, good. I'm Lauren Christian. I'm from Twitter. I got your message, and I'm not sure what the program is about, but, you know, I'm really big on marijuana as a way of really people finding out whether or not they have empathy for kids and pregnant women and other vulnerable people. I don't know if that's the main part.
It's not the main part, but the point is you have an opportunity to talk here, and that's the key. And Lauren, you've been on the show before, and I welcome you back.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay, well, I'll say my piece then first. I'm not against marijuana per se. What I'm against is there's no plan, there's no game plan to protect people, vulnerable people like kids, or the public. There's nothing, and that's what makes me think that this is all about greed, crass greed, you know, and that's a danger. I mean, I think we're here on this planet to really realize that right makes might, not the other way around, but right makes might, and we have to learn that. And just being saying to ourselves, gee, can I make money by selling this plant and getting people addicted, possibly? I don't care because I can make a lot of money. I feel that's very wrong. I mean, it may be something that people hear, oh, well, we read it somewhere, that's wrong, but I think it has some very real consequences. One of the real big consequences of this is people don't realize that if somebody says, hey, you can't make money from fossil fuels, it's polluting, but I'm going to make money by being for marijuana and making money, pollution is pollution. You're not going to get people to do it. I mean, like, for example, I saw there was a thing with the administration. They had a some kind of, I don't know what it was called, some kind of event, and what they were trying to do was to get people to go green, I guess it was. And what they ended up with was people saying, hey, you're from the rich United States. We want money. You did this, you did that. We want billions of dollars, and we're not going to put it towards fossil fuel elimination. We just want you to give us billions of dollars. And it's like, that just seems so wrong to me.
That's part of the Paris Agreement. We're putting in trillions of dollars, basically, while Russia and China are not doing anything until, like, 2034 or 2035.
No, it's not.
And that's you got that right, we've been conned, you know, and that's what the Democrats like to do mostly, because Trump, when he was president, one of the first things he did was pull out of the Paris Agreement because we were being shafted, we were being fleeced, and he knew that, so he wanted, because no matter what we do, don't forget, we're not living in a bubble. What Russia and China and third world nations or fourth world nations are doing into the air, it doesn't matter what we do here, it's going to come around the world anyway. But the thing is, the policies that we have in this country under Trump is a lot cleaner than we have right now under Biden. And the thing is, we're being fleeced because we're spending money, trillions of dollars overseas that should be coming here in this country to help the homeless, to help people with no jobs, bring down the economy, bring down the deficit, the debt, and start rebuilding the economy here.
Yeah, and I think it all comes from within, not without, but within. So if somebody, take for example, just an ordinary person, John Smith, says, well, I'm greedy, I want this, I want that. They see it happening in larger terms, like the Paris Agreement, whatever it is. And I was pretty sure it wasn't going to work just because people, too many people, are just so into greed, into some kind of aggression, small aggression against other people. Now, I say marijuana because I just saw on Twitter somebody's trying to normalize it. How do you normalize poisons?
You can't normalize poisons. No.
You can't. And that was even tried before. in a very weird sense, this guy, I think his name is Dr. Morrell. He was Hitler's, Adolf Hitler's personal doctor, and he tried to make Hitler immune or raise his tolerance to different poisons, and he kept injecting him with poisons, and I guess it did make him a little less more tolerant of poisons, but it made him even crazier. I mean, the price you have to pay to do that kind of thing. And, we don't care about Hitler, but, you know, it's the same kind of thing. Are we all going to, so somebody can hedonistically smoke marijuana, we're all going to just say, okay, we're going to normalize it when we can't?
Well, they're trying to dope off the country, but what they're doing, they're normalizing or legalizing marijuana is just a stepping stone. What they truly want to do is legalize, make every single drug out there legal. That includes cocaine, fentanyl, hashish, meth, the whole nine yards. They're trying to legalize every drug there is. And then the whole country would be like Colorado and California and Oregon.
I know. The Colorado and California is kind of the future. It's like they showed us, what people are trying to do. I mean, who are marijuana advocates, not all of them, but some of them, they make promises, and they don't keep any of the promises. What a terrible thing.
They're not going to. The idea was to use that as a stepping stone to legalize the same thing. If you can't control a criminal act, they want to legalize the criminal act. So this way, it kind of disappears, but it's not really. It's just all you're doing is inciting these people to become more emboldened. And criminals run wild, and that's why part of the problem in this country right now is that the criminals are running, and all you have to do is look at the White House and to see how bad things are.
I happen to agree with you. I mean, one time I lived in San Francisco, and I was a really young guy, and I did some crazy things, but now it seems like that's nothing compared to what's going on now. I mean, I met some drug people. I met people, who really are on the marginal part of life. But, everything is legal now. It kind of reminds me of Russia. I wasn't there, but in the
1970s. That's what they want. See, this is the plan of, Solinsky, remember the rules of Solinsky's rules, and people like George Soros and others. This is the plan in Obama, is to make this country not a socialist country, but a communist country. And all you have to do is look at ALC and her statement the other day socialism is the key. She goes, this country would be better off with complete socialist mentality, and she don't realize that more people are murdered by people are claiming to be socialist than anything else. It's wrong.
Even when I was younger, when I lived out there, we used to go to parties, and somebody say there's gangsters there, and I said, "What do you mean gangsters? They're progressives," and I said,
when you say gangsters and progressives, you're basically downtrending the real gangsters, because most of those gangsters that you see, the mob and stuff like that, they're not progressives by any means.
He was being sarcastic. He was trying to say that they're not nice people. A lot of them.
No, they're not nice people. But the mob, if you want to go back in history, the mob was working with the CIA, and that time was the OSI, to help undermine the Germans, and especially in Sicily and Italy, and closely with that. And Donovan, the colonel back in the OSI, which was under Roosevelt, actually worked with the head of the Italian mob back in the early 40s to work an operation that led to the landing of Sicily from
right,
North Africa.
Right.
So,
right.
You know,
yeah, I saw that on television. You know. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about the mob, but, you know, if we talk about present day, that's what we have. We're dealing with. And the thing is, I always go back to, it's coming from us. It's from, you know, we have to take, if we see something we don't like, we say, well, we don't like that kind of thing. We're not going to act that way. And I think because of greed has gotten so far taken away that we put up with these elected officials. I can't believe them. They're on Twitter, for example. They make a video. Mm-hmm. And they're practically saying, but not quite, how safe marijuana is for everyone. Now, I use marijuana as an example. But, you know, I'm not totally against it. I've had friends who smoke marijuana, but, you know, I think I said on Twitter that there's one friend I had who's a football player. In the past, he used to brag how much marijuana he's smoking every day. Marijuana. He was just in love with marijuana. That was his first love. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's going to be the death of you. It's going to be the death of you. Are you kidding me? And he laughed. He laughed until he died, and maybe of a stroke or heart disease or both, I don't know which. But he got him as a young man, and, you know, it was scary because, you know, it's been predicted that
it's the chemicals inside of that. The marijuana that you had in the 60s is not as today's marijuana is not the same. They added chemicals in there. And now they got to worry about fentanyl. And a lot of people are dying who thought they were smoking a joint, and it turned out that it was laced with fentanyl and they died. And then, you know, so.
Yeah, and people deny it. They say, some of these people say, well, no, you're going to lose customers by putting fentanyl in. Well, some people don't care, and they want to give something a little bit of a kick,
drug,
a little bit of a pop. So they say, let's put a little bit of fentanyl in. It can't really hurt. Well, no, it doesn't hurt. It kills you.
It takes not even a drop. And the thing is, the police officers that respond to these ODs, they can, just by sniffing it, or, you know, the smell, or just by coming near to the aroma of the person that had it, we had cops that OD'd off of that and died. Just had a couple recently because of just going there. But every police officer, every car that goes on patrol has what they call the kit, where they give you a shot until they get stabilized, until they get to the hospital. Otherwise, it's an instantaneous death. It's more every day, 300 Americans die from overdose in this country.
200, but you know what? Nobody should die just because of that. And it gets me that public officials, elected officials, are not saying anything about this. They're talking about money, not for America, for them. You know, like, I won't name any names. That's my policy. I don't name names. But, you know, some of these public officials, elected officials, I can't believe what they say. You know, they smile. They say this is a joke.
Yeah.
Right.
We have an old saying with politicians, and I don't care if it's left wing, right wing, middle road, or anything.
Right.
Watch when they shake your hand on the left. If they shake your hand, watch what the other hand is doing, because they may be going into your wallet, into your pocket.
Yeah, that's
you don't true. You don't know. And when we have people that come on the show that are running for office, Scarlett usually the one to ask the question. Once if you get to D.C., if you get to Tallahassee, if you get to wherever you're going, on the promises and pledges you make, and are you going to keep it? And we tell them that we'll get you back on a couple years later. We'll get you back on when you do for re-election. And if you don't keep it, we're going to play that tape over and put it right in your face.
I don't blame you for doing that, because so many promises are made, and you know, they don't tend to keep them. I mean, it's almost scary, because, you know, a number of years ago, I could say, well, you know, if a politician said something, maybe it was a little twisted. It's just crazy right now. I mean,
the empathy, the people in this country are so this thought is so angry and distrust of anything in political right now because of all the stuff in there. And part of the reason why there was no red wave in the Senate, a mini one in the House, but in Florida there was a big red wave because everyone that ran in the Republican side kept their promises over the last couple of years, and they went more or less to respect of God, respect of the law, respect, you know, they know what's going on. The parental rights are very big in parental rights, taking control of the kids and not like these teachers and the unions and stuff to indoctrinate these people and these kids. And that's a big thing, especially we have a drug policy in the state where they teach the kids that marijuana and other drugs is wrong, even in the low kindergarten, similar to what Nancy Reagan did back in the day and when Greg was on
drugs.
And all that type of stuff.
I remember
right.
that. And
so
I've offered to go to the secondary schools and speak out. I said, look, I'm taking a neutral position. I want to talk about marijuana, but of course, as you know, I say to them, you know, that I'm not in favor of more drugs. And they say, you can't come to our school. They tell me this. You can't come because this is a controversial matter. We can't have somebody just talking about marijuana in that way. And I was like, controversial. I'm here to protect kids.
Yeah.
And that's controversial?
Right. You know what? I want to tell you something. It is controversial in the left-wing areas more than the right-wing areas. But the thing is,
I don't know. You know, I don't look at it that way. I mean, I try to stay neutral in everything. I mean, I remember, just give you an idea, I was on TV at one point, the other year, and somebody asked me a question about a certain person, and they wanted to know, do you think this politician is greedy? And I wasn't going to say on radio, it was TV, I wasn't going to say. You know, that's my policy. I don't give out names, good or bad. And then I changed the subject to Pearl Harbor. And I can actually segue into Pearl Harbor of 1941 because it was a groupthink kind of thing where people said, December 7th, 1941, we'll never get attacked. It'll never happen. You know, never, 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 never. And people laughed about it that we can't be attacked. And December 7th, 1941. Look what happened. You know, people were in a bubble.
There were a lot of errors in there, actually. There were a lot of errors on that day.
That's a long time ago. But, you know, the same things happened today. What people need to do, I believe, is they need to think for themselves. Really think for themselves and not have somebody think for them. One time I used to go to these different group meetings of these different religions years ago and learn what I could learn. And one was kind of funny. I went to one, and the guy said to me, God's in jail. I said, what? God's in jail or prison. I think he said prison. And he said, yes, for all kinds of crimes. And I said, what?
All kinds.
What's that?
Where did that person get that idea?
He was God's disciple, I think he called himself, or to the guru or whatever. And I said, I won't indicate the person's name. He's probably dead, but I'm not sure. And
it doesn't matter, but that's not right in a sense.
That's ridiculous.
You know.
And I said,
yes.
I said, and he said to me, he said to everybody, he said, God wants you to not drop out of school and get a job. So I raised my hand and I said, why are we doing that? He said, because God needs your money. And I said, what does God need money for? And he said, well, because he needs lawyers to teach you a lesson. And I said, I'm thinking, teach me a lesson, not to be a sucker. And you know, to a certain degree, I use it as an example, but people will think, you know, somebody says something, it must be true. I mean, that is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. It's probably more ridiculous to you, too, but it's ridiculous to me. You know, so
Anyway, I want to end this, if we could finish this off, because we only got like a little bit of time for this after the other half of the show, and I want to get to other things.
I'm sure you do, and I have to go too. So, you know, let me just say really quickly that I'm not against marijuana. I need to see a plan. I need to see a plan. Even my friend who may have died of marijuana from a stroke, I don't know. I don't want to say for sure. But he had a plan to protect kids. You know, basically he told me, this is what I do so people don't have to, they don't ingest secondhand and thirdhand smoke. And I respect him for that. And I think what people need to do is have empathy and feelings for other people. And we could end a lot of problems if we had empathy for other people. That'll be my last word on the show. I'll let you go on to other things, Joe.
Yeah, I want to thank you for coming, Lorna. Thank you for coming on, and you're welcome anytime, you know?
Okay, that sounds good. Well, thank you, Joe. I'll let you go, and I'm going to go myself. Thank you so much for coming on.
Have a good time. Have a good day. Thank you for the conversation. You really generated a lot of thought.
Thank you. Okay, we'll see you guys later. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye now. Okay, that was Lauren. He has been a guest on a couple of times, returning guests. He's one of our Twitter followers. But talking about controversy again, that was one. We have this week the fake president, Biden, released a lot of the files from JFK going back to the JFK assassination. And all it did really was increase all kinds of theories, but maybe reinforce a couple, being that maybe LBJ and talk about greed wanted to stay in Vietnam and just so he could make money in the war machines. And so he had JFK assassinated. There's another theory, it was the mob orientated from Chicago, Giacana. And there's one story that's being now talked about, Lee Harvey Oswald as a CIA operative. So those are the things that's coming out, and it's more controversy. Any kind of input, Scarlett?
What about the Warren Commission? Were they full of shit?
I think so. Well, we'll know more as you read through the files.
Well, Fletcher would have known because, well, he passed away. But, you know, he's the one that kept, what's his face here, who recently died. You know, no rules, Hastings. So the Warren Commission was in on it, the assassination of Johnson.
Yep, that's true. That's and it looks that way. Now, we have, you know, when we find things out, that's a possibility. We're going to leave it there because we have to start really reading those files in depth. We just got them the other day, and there's thousands of pages, so it's going to take a little time.
Remember that movie with Kevin Costner?
JFK.
Right. So how close did Oliver Stone come to the truth?
I think pretty close. It's according to what we read and what we're hearing, it's been pretty close. So, you know.
So we need to read more in depth of the files and see what it is. Okay, we'll get back to the audience
Alan,
if anybody has read that? Anybody read the files, call in at 515-602-9657 to give us some insight if you read anything.
My friend Carrie Parker and Jack Posobiec, both big on the Internet, both are reading through the files now. And Carrie asked, we're going to discuss a little bit on the JFK. I said, yeah. I did not know that Lauren was coming on, but that was okay. So I did that for her. If she wants to call in, that's fine. And we're going to continue with that.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll have more to express in this discussion as we read the files.
Now, You know, we got things that we need to discuss on certain things. You know, we here in the, on the show, we over the years, we have all kinds of different guests. And some of them are special needs, some of them into all kinds of different medical situations that we have. A lot of our entertainers that we get on are into helping others. So whenever there's someone that has a modern-day miracle on health, we always want them to get a complete physical examination and so we can find out independently, so we can find out how certain people could survive under certain circumstances so we can pass it on to others so we can save other lives. But sometimes sometimes people, for whatever reason they have, just refuse to have somebody independently checking them out on medical reasons. It's a lot of questions to why.
There's a lot of selfish people out there.
Is it because... Is it because there is no mundane miracle? That's all a lie. Is it because he or she is selfish, that doesn't want to help others? Why? And because lives are at stake. It's not just one; it's many lives. And if you can have a mundane miracle on helping others to get over kidney diseases, dialysis, and other stuff, heart conditions, cancer, anything like that, asbestos, all that stuff. If you're able to do that, if you can do that, let the doctors do what they call a living autopsy on an individual. So autopsies are not done just for people that are dead. Autopsies could be done on what they call living autopsies. It's a whole battery of tests, not just blood tests, but they do a whole from head to toe, and they examine you and to see what's going on in your body that keeps you alive when you should be dead a year ago or something like that. That type of mundane miracle could be used to save other people's lives. And that's the key there. And it's nothing wrong to question people. It's nothing wrong questioning people that's supposed to have no kidneys and have no dialysis for a year and a half and still alive. There is nothing wrong to answer the question, how is it possible that he or she is still alive with no kidney functions and no dialysis for a year and a half, or on hospice for 13 to 14 months? These things send red flags everywhere. So if there's a modern-day miracle here, why not let the professionals take a look at the individual body, do what they call a living autopsy, and save lives?
If you're a modern-day miracle, why are you in hospice?
Right again. A lot of questions need to be answered. A lot of questions are being asked. And it has drawn into
the
professional...
Why would you want to be in... Hold it. I'll go better than that. Why would you want to be in hospice if you're a modern-day miracle?
Right.
Hospice means you're going to die tonight or tomorrow.
Not living for a year, 13 months, 14 months.
Life is short. Why not just live it to the limit?
And if you are modern day miracle, let's save lives. Go out there and save lives.
If you're living life right now to the limit, and you're in hospice, why are you in hospice if you're living life to the limit?
Right. You know, if you're able to go to dances and parties and restaurants and shopping and doing house chores and just do ordinary chores and stuff, why, hospice means you're in the bed ready to die tonight. That's what hospice is.
Terminal pain.
Not living 13 months, 14 months. So, and that's red flags all over the place. That's what brought in the feds. That's what brought in the state. That's what brought in all these high-end scientists and doctors around the country. That's why people, of course, are calling and questioning. You are literally sending flares up. Hey, look at me. I'm a one-day miracle. And yet you refuse to let the people to take a look at you so we can use whatever you're doing to save other people's lives. Something's wrong there. It's being questioned, and we'll see. Anyway, let's get out of that.
Anyway, what else is going on?
Now we'll talk about we got some time. We could talk about Hanukkah.
You know what? When I was a little girl, I had a large family. My mother had three sisters and a brother, all married. They all had children. I have a lot of cousins. I have a big family, huge family, generations. And when we used to get together, and there were a lot of kids. So everybody, all the kids got gifts. So everybody in the family bought a kid a gift. So you get your 8 gifts because 8 days of Hanukkah. So that's how they worked it out. And everybody got everything they wanted. And, you know, and had a nice meal together. And it was fun. We danced. We sang. We spun the dreidel. It was nice. Okay? And I loved it. I missed that because a lot of my relatives don't live in Florida. They live all over the world, actually. I have family all over the world. And so it's not as nuclear as it used to be. But
By the way, Rabbi Pauly, a good friend over in Israel, for Hanukkah, he became a black belt.
Okay. How did he become a black belt?
He got lessons. It's part of his therapy for because
well,
he's a senior.
He was sick.
He's fine.
Sick with a big
he's
gun.
Fine. He's doing his
he
thing.
He hooked up a cough and he was in pain and he's
yeah,
all better.
Yeah, but he's all better. Rabbi Pauly, for our listeners, is the first guy that actually endorsed me when I ran for Congress back in the day,
yeah,
back in 2011.
Yeah, we went to that place at university,
yeah.
I know.
Rabbi Pauly, and this is we're connected. Rabbi Pauly is connected to the Knesset and to Bibi Netanyahu and a bunch of others, and we got to pull the doors up and down. And we get information with rockets coming and all that stuff. This is before my connections into Yael Eckstein and all those people. But anyway, my friend Steve.
Great, great rabbi, great man.
Yeah.
So he's a black belt?
Seriously? Yeah, he's a black belt.
He's Chuck Norris.
Yes, he's Chuck Norris. Okay. My friend Steve G. Send me a menorah, happy Hanukkah 5783, and this is a quote: "For my faith is not yours, and your faith is not mine. If we are free to light our own flame, together we can banish some of the darkness of the world." And unquote. And I think that's
I
a good thing. Yes.
You know what? There's a big, bad bullshit going down here in Broward County with people who don't like the Jewish community that much.
Yeah. And Casey DeSantis.
Doing a lot of damage. And it's terrible.
And Casey DeSantis.
Jealousy and hate is terrible. Just because.
Governor DeSantis, Casey DeSantis sent us, "I wish everybody lighting the first candle of the menorah this evening a happy Hanukkah from the DeSantis family."
That's lovely. Lovely. I love it. 24
now,
gifts for them. For the three for the three kids. 8 gifts. One a day. So,
there you go.
And why do they do that? Why? What is the miracle of Hanukkah? Does anybody want to know? I'll tell you. There was oil. It was only supposed to burn for one night, but it burnt. It stayed for 8 days for them to find more oil to light their lamps. Now that's a miracle. Okay.
Now, Now let's get to the next topic. Here's Trump's 2024 Digital Bill of Rights. Number one, ban federal agencies from colluding to censor American citizens. Number two, ban taxpayer dollars from being used to label speech as mis- or disinformation. Number three, fire every federal bureaucrat who has engaged in domestic censorship. Immediately send preservation letters to Biden administration and big tech giants because they're going to prison. Number five, order DOJ to investigate all parties involved in any online censorship regime and prosecute any and all crimes identified. That includes the guy in Broward County. Revise Section 230 to drastically curtail big platforms' power to restrict lawful speech. The 230 thing is that we've been trying to get a hold of. That protects the platforms and the stuff. We get that protection so we can actually sue for damages. Stop federal funding for all nonprofits and academic programs against the censorship. That's big. Suspend federal dollars to any university that has engaged in censorship support activities. That's the left-wing colleges mostly. Enact criminal penalties for federal bureaucrats who partner with private entities to violate your constitutional rights. That's like the FTX, Zuckerberg's, George Soros, all that type of stuff. Impose a 7-year cooling off period before former Intel and national security officials can work at big tech platforms. I think they should never work at big tech platforms. Pass a digital bill of rights. That's the big thing.
I think they have to sign an NDA agreement when you become into the government. For life.
I wonder how many people in our listeners actually trust the FBI in any shape or form. I doubt anybody would.
I don't trust any of our government. What, are you kidding me?
Credit files dropped.
Slime.
There was another drop before the show.
I can name a dozen people I would trust. Beyond that, I don't. And that's in the entire country. Seriously. That's not
good,
is it?
No. There was another Twitter drop. This one shows that the FBI went after execs from big tech companies before the 2020 election to try and influence them, arm twisting them to not to show or do anything. Hunter Biden stuff, destroy the story, eliminate the conservative voice, and that nature. There is enough evidence to overturn 2020 and 2022 in certain elections. That's happening.
Look, I don't know how President Trump sees this, or Governor DeSantis, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, or Gates, or a few of the others. But I see it as they're traitors.
They are.
And I don't know how the rest of the country sees and hears me. I see them as traitors, and they should be held accountable. I don't want to pay for them to be in jail. I don't know how everybody else sees that, but I bet you they could generate one of my voice on it and my communication. And I think they should be held accountable. I'm not one who want to feed them three meals a day. I don't. I don't want them electrocuted. I don't want to spend the money on electricity to set it up, to do it, to this, or stick them. I think we should have a modern-day founder way to do it. Build it, rope it, lynch them, hang them. It's cheap. I sound cruel, don't I?
No, you sound angry enough, and a lot of people, don't forget, I talk to hundreds of people every day, and they
all
have
that
some
money. I think they should all be cleaned, and it should go to pay down the debt that is in such a number. It's insane. I think their homes should be sold off and everything, and all that money should go to paying down the debt. You can't sell the home, let homeless people live in them.
Yeah. Well, remember what we used to do with that.
That's another thing. All these criminals, and they're going to be RICOs for their fraud. I think all the homes should go to the people who need homes.
Okay. The other thing I was just breaking before we got on the air was what they call stolen valor. Biden lies about his uncle getting a Purple Heart.
Biden got a Purple Heart for what?
Not Biden, his uncle. Conservative Twitter blasted President Joe Biden for reciting another ridiculous tall tale about himself in a speech where he claimed his uncle was awarded a Purple Heart for his actions in World War II.
What's the uncle's name?
I don't even know. Let me read this, though. This story is to be believed, Biden used his political power to secure a Purple Heart for a family member who had not earned a Purple Heart, said national radio host Todd Starnes. That's a very good friend of ours. We've been on each other's show so often.
Well,
I believe that call
for a person who served in a war for his own ill-gotten gain of family. Is that correct? For the one of them understanding?
No, okay. He was not wounded. He shouldn't get a Purple Heart. That's what the story is. I believe that's called aiding and abetting stolen valor. Biden made the remarks during a town hall for the U.S. veterans in Delaware
traitor?
This past Friday.
Is that traitor?
It's what?
Is that being a traitor?
No, it's just being an idiot.
He's always an idiot.
Okay.
And he's a thief. No. He's a criminal. He's scum.
Yeah, anyway. This is a quote. This is a quote. My dad, when I got elected vice president in 2008, he said, "Joey, Uncle Frank fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was not feeling very well now, not because of the Battle of the Bulge, but he said, and he won the Purple Heart, and he never received it. He never got it. Do you think you could help him get it? We will surprise him," said the 80-year-old president. "So I got him the Purple Heart. He had won it in the Battle of the Bulge. And I remember he came over the house. I came out and my father said, present it to him, okay? We had the family there at Biden. He concluded the story by giving the medal to his uncle despite his humble protest." The New York Post made a Swiss cheese of Biden's story, stating the no facts indicate it's not true. Biden's father, Joseph R. Biden, died in September 2002, more than 6 years before his son was elected VP, Frank Vernon. Joe's senior brothers died in 1999. They also know that Frank Biden's tombstone does not identify him as a Purple Heart honoree, nor does his obituary. A partial registry of known Purple Heart recipients also doesn't know anyone by the name receiving the reward, so that the database is not comprehensive.
There's an archive of a registry of people who served.
I know that. And the RNC Research Twitter account shared the clip of Biden's speech. Joe Biden says that he was elected VP. He was his uncle Frank with a Purple Heart. He earned it at the ballot box. There is no evidence any of that is true. And Biden's uncle died in 1999, while Biden wasn't even elected VP until 2008. Many other activists and journalists jumped on the attack. Todd's book makes great shocking stuff. And you can go and get his book.
Did Ron Kleiman write that shit, his cheapest book?
I don't know.
They're just goofies. Write their crap. So he's a liar.
Now,
he lies about everything.
Our friend Jay Sekulow is doing right now, the radical left is trying to pass a bill that would eviscerate the integrity of our elections, striking down state laws banning vote harvesting and bribery. It's unconstitutional, and we defend the Constitution in court. Take action with us. Sign our petition. Defend the Constitution integrity of elections. Sign the petition. Go to aclj.org. And sign is called Defend Election Integrity and the Constitution.
They're able to pass a law.
No, they're going to try to. It doesn't work. And the other thing,
And Manchin.
They're both, Samina Manchin, Samina is independent. She's moving towards Republican. Manchin said just 2 or 3 days ago that he is siding with the Republicans on some of the bills. And we expect by January 3rd, both Samina and Manchin be Republicans, which gives the Senate to this Republican Party.
Do you think they're going to vote for that hokey bill?
No. Neither one of them said they're going to.
Okay.
Now, abortion, by the way, all these lefties, all these people that talking about hate, the biggest hate you can have is killing life. The biggest hate you can have is killing babies in the womb. Abortion is not medicine because a living baby is not a disease. It's murder when you kill a living baby. Abortion is not medicine because pregnancy is not a disease. And that's Dr. Heywood Robinson, former abortionist, who's now
Who says pregnancy is a disease?
The Democrats on the left in some places. That's one of the reasons why a certain young lady who just gave birth should not be supporting Democrats.
That's right. Right. If you're having intercourse and you ejaculate your sperm and it floats through your fallopian tube and your egg is dropping because it's coming towards your period and they meet and they Velcro together, whatever it is, and they come together and they form a baby and plant itself in the uterine wall, you're pregnant. It's normal. It's natural. That's how life works.
Remember when we had the show with Todd Allen and Rendon? My Name is America came on a couple of times. Well, anyway, he has a club in Panama City. We all know him.
We
promote him from. He does a lot of great imitations himself. His famous song for everybody that don't know is My Name is America. And we play it a couple of times here on the show. The other day he said, we're always honored to be the MC of Reach Across America ceremony in Panama City. It's important to never forget our veterans and their families. God bless them. And him and his beautiful wife, they went and put wreaths on all the plots in the cemeteries that dedicated all the heroes that have done.
I got a question. It's a totally off-the-way conversation. On Diamond, Silk and Diamond, Diamond and Silk, because I thought about them today. How is Diamond doing?
Brother, they've been back together. They're doing things. So far, so good.
Okay, so she's all better?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Because, you know, she was sick and they made, and, you know, I didn't know. And nobody really reports anything. And, you know, the news is such bullshit that you can't find anything because it's just bullshit. So.
Four years ago today, I wrote something, and I spoke before a bunch of people. I was running for sheriff at the time. And I'm going to read this. It's one of the last things we do before we end the show. And this is very important. As I spoke to a number of people last night, one of my plans proposals to make Broward County and South Florida safe again, which is still there, is to coordinate with the federal government, ICE, DEA, FBI, and Homeland, along with state police like the FDLE, state troopers, along with all local police chiefs from the tri-county areas to reach us to eliminate all the drug dealers, the bullies, the neighbors, the gangs, as well as the drug dens, eliminate sanctuary cities, et cetera, and take them all down. We have a list of people and locations to eliminate, and they will be gone shortly after I become sheriff. And that includes illegal aliens and supporters as complicit in their crimes. And that is very important, and that's one of the reasons why they call me the corruption fire. It's one of the reasons why they call me the one person that's going to turn the conditions of Broward County around. As we found earlier today, in Fort Lauderdale. A woman was shot Sunday morning at a coffee bar in Broward County. It's in Broward County. It's actually a woman was shot Sunday morning at a coffee shop in Cooper City, according to the BSO. Shortly after 9 a.m.,
okay.
Deputies responded to a shooting at the Clutch Coffee Bar on 9630 Sterling Road. The sheriff's office said in a news release they found a woman with a gunshot wound. Victim was taken in an unknown condition to the hospital, which is not far from a Davis Memorial Hospital down in that area. Detectives with BSO Robbery Union are investigating the shooting. Clutch Coffee Bar manager didn't immediately tell the reporter Miami Herald whether the victim was an employee or a customer. Authorities didn't release additional information. But the point is, it's not once in a blue moon. This is everyday occurrence, and that's going to stop. And I promise you, heads will roll, coordination will be better, and we will be able to stop this in its tracks in the next few days and weeks to come. And that's how we can end it. As far as this, again, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. To all the Jews and the people who do, non-Jews who do celebrate Hanukkah around the world.
And the children. And the children.
And
don't forget the dreidels. And dreidels.
That's right. And this is Scarlett saying, I'll be back on Wednesday. And we'll have more to discuss. And everybody have a great week. And God bless America. And God bless everyone. Happy Hanukkah. Good night, all. Bye.
Happy Hanukkah to everyone. We'll see you on Wednesday. God bless you all. And Wednesday, it's 8 o'clock, and we'll have more discussions, and we'll see what comes up and see what comes on. And looking forward to our 13th anniversary with entertainment and everything else next month in January. Have a very blessed day.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave God.